So guys, nice to meet you. My name is Deborah, and I'm a vegan interior designer. And what that means is that I don't use anything derived from animals. I don't use wool, silk, fur, leather, down, anything, horns, antlers. I've been designing now for a very long time, nearly 20 years. And I became vegan in my firm a couple years ago after I learned about dog leather. And we'll talk about that in a bit. But just to give you a little bit of background, I have twin girls. They're now 24 years old. This is clearly an old picture, but I have this picture for a reason, because this picture haunts me to this day. When I gave birth to them, I'm from New York originally, and they were born in the winter, very cold winter in January. And we received lots of gifts. You know, everyone's so excited about twins. And two of my favorite gifts at that time were a pair of sheepskin rugs that you see in this picture. They were about 3 by 5 feet. And I love them. I absolutely love them. And every day I would place them on the floor, and I'd make this bed, and the dog would love it, and the sun would come in from the winter in New York, and I was in love with those rugs. I look at this picture, and I think about those rugs to this day, because I say, who was I? You know, I look at it and I'm like, oh my God. And it haunts me and it makes me sad. But we move forward and we're here today. So I keep this picture actually on my computer whenever I get tired. Okay, back to dog leather, which is how I went vegan in my firm. I had my aha moment, as we all do, I think. And that for me was a couple years ago when I saw this video by PETA actually on dog leather. Now, like all of you, I'm sure we get lots of videos on our feed. And I always say that it's timing in life. You know, you have to be prepared and ready. So clearly I wasn't ready till a couple years ago. But that's okay. So that day, I guess I was ready. So what I did was I clicked on the video. And that literally changed my entire life, personally and professionally. From that moment on, I declared my company completely vegan. And I learned about dog leather because China is the leading exporter of leather. And leather in China can be anything. It can be dog, cats, raccoon dogs, kangaroos, as we're learning, seals, anything. So I basically had to start my company all over again. And this, for me, was a huge task because I had been designing for many years and successfully. And not 90%, but 100% of my projects contain animal-based decor and furniture. And within those projects, whether they're commercial, hospitality, residential, hotel, almost 100% of the spaces have things made with animals. So this was basically reinventing my company. So we started sourcing, and it took a long time because we had to find very high-end materials because my design firm is very high-end. And after we found things, we also learned about, it was like entering a rabbit hole, you know, because, wait, I think I'm supposed to be switching my things here. Hang on. There we go. Okay, Demira Design Vegan. It was a rabbit hole for us because it wasn't really only about the animals. I learned about the workers and the pollution and the devastation, and it was overwhelming. So after some time, we created this awesome library, and I started designing my spaces only with vegan alternatives. And an interesting thing happened. I started getting emails from regular people and from designers wanting to know about vegan design. So we created a whole nother business, actually, called vegandesign.org. And we created an accredited course for people, for designers and for regular people. And we created a badge, a trademark for them to post on their businesses. And we're very proud to say that the course and the logo has been used in over 60 countries. So it's been great. So I have Demira Design, and we have vegandesign.org. So that just shows that change is happening. And it's not because of me. It's because of everyone. And I say it takes a village. So it's awesome that we're all working hard. Now, I lost my place. Okay. So let's talk about, before, I thought we'd talk about bedding, because everyone always asks me about bedrooms, and bedrooms are a very important space in a home. But before we do that, I just want to talk about, quickly, about a couple benefits of vegan design. Vegan design is sensory friendly, and I was talking with Victoria about this earlier. I design spaces also for children and adults with challenges, ADD, ADHD, autism. That became a little bit of a niche of mine, something that's very close to my heart. And vegan design is sensory friendly. So if someone suffers from anxiety or has ADD or ADHD or sensory pervasive disorder where they're very sensitive to touch, vegan alternatives are much gentler on the senses for many reasons. The smell, they don't smell like animal skin. The texture, they're not rough, like think of wool. And they're less toxic, which is huge, much healthier. Vegan design also promotes good health. Speaking of toxicity, there's many less chemicals within faux alternatives than in animal-based alternatives. Think of it like a skin. We have skin. Leather is rotting flesh unless it's treated. So it's treated with intense chemicals. Do you know that when they found the Titanic, I think it was underwater for 75 years, the only things that were completely intact besides dishes and so on and so forth were the leather furniture. It didn't even rot for a second. 75 years underwater. So if that doesn't tell you the amount of toxins within leather. Price. People always ask me, is it affordable? Is it expensive? It runs the gamut. In Demare Design, we do custom. We do super expensive stuff if a client wants. I mean, right down to the legs. We use faux leathers that are like butter. We use faux wools, faux silks, super, super high end. But then we also have cruelty-free cribs, which is on our site, which is an online e-commerce. It's we've curated great, affordable, get-the-looks that are from places like Target and Urban Outfitters and Amazon, very well priced. So it really goes, it runs the gamut. Very easy to clean and durable if you're a mom or of a child or a pet owner, you know. Pee pee, poo poo, and vomit, I always say. It all gets cleaned up on faux. Again, real skins are their real skin, so they're porous. You know, you pour a liquid on them, it's going to absorb just like our skin. And then lastly, humane working conditions. The average tannery worker in India dies at the age of 50 because of all the toxins that they're exposed to. And that just goes along with every other industry within the skins industry. The working conditions are inhumane, and clearly most of them are done outside of this country in other countries where their workers are desperate to feed their families. Okay, so now, also, animal-based, excuse me, I think I'm getting a cold, sorry. Animal-based fabrics and textiles contain something called hormone disruptors. You might be hearing that term more and more. I've been hearing it more and more. Hormone disruptors are basically caused by chemicals that are in animal-based textiles, intense chemicals that affect infertility, cause cancer, stroke, neurological issues. So if you're cranky, I always say you can blame your leather sofa, you know? Okay, now, here's my third child, my son Luca. Let's talk about bedding. Why are bedrooms so important? Again, you can talk forever about vegan design, but I just wanted to focus on bedrooms because it's an important space, and again, I always get asked about bedrooms. Bedrooms are one of the most important spaces in a home because we sleep there, and we spend almost a third of our life there, which if you live to 90, that's 30 years of your life. While you're sleeping, your body is repairing itself and regenerating itself. That's why sleep is so important. So when you are sleeping in a toxic environment, you are inhaling all of those toxins. You know, prior to the 1960s, homes were much healthier because they didn't use the amount of toxins that they use today. Resins, glues, adhesives, paints. Paints contain thousands of toxins. So you're inhaling all of that while you're sleeping, and your body is supposedly regenerating itself and preventing itself from getting sick and not triggering illness or making your illness worse. So that's just in the environment. What about the actual bed itself and the bedding? So let's talk about pillows. If you are sleeping using down pillows, which maybe you're not even aware if you're using a down pillow. Down pillows, first of all, it takes 12 geese live plucked typically to make one down pillow. Many of them don't survive from the pain and the shock. They hold tons of moisture. They're terrible for people with allergies, and they carry dust mites. Dust mites are little teeny bugs that crawl over your face during the night. So like if you ever feel alone, you can know the dust mites are with you if you're sleeping with down, right? There's nothing good about them. And of course, clearly they're soaked in toxins because again, it's an animal-based material. And lastly, you can get a disease called feather duvet lung. Swear to you, I can't believe that disease actually exists. And it's an inflammation in the linings of the lung, and it causes scar tissue on the inside of your lung. Isn't that lovely? So my favorite pillows are bamboo, which I actually use in my own home. I love bamboo because it's a very sustainable product. The bamboo tree grows 3 feet a day, which is great, doesn't use a lot of water, doesn't need pesticides. It's a terrific, terrific tree. So get bamboo pillows. But here's the thing. There's a little caveat to that. If you get bamboo pillows, do not get them mixed with rayon or viscose. Rayon and viscose are the same thing. It's an interchangeable word. Get them made with Tencel. Tencel is a fiber that is made from the eucalyptus tree, the pulp of the eucalyptus tree. The eucalyptus tree is a great, great sustainable product. Doesn't need pesticides, grows quickly, doesn't need a lot of water, doesn't need a lot of land. It's a terrific, and doesn't need any chemicals. So when you're going to get bamboo, make sure it's mixed with Tencel. Now,
How do you spell that?
T-E-N-C-I-L. Tencel also has another name called Lyocell, L-Y-O-C-E-L-L. Okay? Now, rayon and viscose. If there's anything you get from this talk, I want you to leave here saying, I am never in my life using rayon and viscose, okay? Again, same thing. Why? Because rayon slash viscose is also a cellulose fiber, which means it's plant-based, which is what marketers like to think that you're doing a really great thing by getting rayon and viscose. It's not. Why? Because rayon and viscose has tons of chemicals in it, tons. Why? Because, yes, it's plant-based, but the plants that they use are very hard trees. So that bark needs to be broken down into something soft that they can then turn into a fiber. So what they do is they kill it with chemicals, kill it. So toxic that there's no rayon and viscose factories here in the United States. They're all in China. And in China, they're getting mental disorder, nerve damage, strokes, cancers, everything from working in these factories. They take this fiber from this bark, they put tons of chemicals into it, and it turns into a viscous liquid, which is how they get the name viscous, and that turns into fibers. They mix that with bamboo and other things, and then you think you're getting an eco-friendly and a wonderful product. Meanwhile, it's horrible. And the worst part about viscose and rayon, well, not the worst part, but in addition, is that the tree comes from the oil palm tree, which is where all the orangutans are being massacred and losing their homes. So by buying viscose, anything made with viscose and rayon, I mean, you're just empowering all these corporations, okay? So stay away from that.
Is that for clothing too?
Everything, everything, rayon and viscose, okay?
So are these popular everywhere? Like, how do we know where?
Look at labels and email us, and I'll tell you.
Okay.
You have to.
You can
look at labels. I always tell everyone, look at labels. You must look. You need to become your own detective. But again, we're always available.
Okay.
So you just shoot us an email, someone will get back to you. Okay? Now, kapok is also great. It's the rubber tree. They call it the silk cotton. It's one of the lightest fibers in the world, and it's a great pillow. If you have allergies, it's a very, very good option. Buckwheat. I'm really obsessed with buckwheat lately. Anyone who follows us on social media. I was in Japan last year, and the hotel offered buckwheat pillows. And I was like, So I got one. It's the coolest pillow. I mean, either you love it or you can't stand it, but I want you to love it because it's very sustainable, and it's interesting because it's cool, and it's made with these little holes, and you can make the pillow heavier or lighter if you want, which is great, so it can conform to your neck. If you have neck problems, it's a great pillow, and it's cool again. So anyone over 50, hey, in the audience, you know what? Menopause, it's awesome. Hot flashes, yeah. Okay, so now you know you're down alternatives for pillows. Sheets. Sheets are similar to pillows. Bamboo sheets are great because they also absorb perspiration. We all perspire, not only menopausal ladies like me, but we all perspire when we sleep. So bamboo really is great for that. And again, it's hypoallergenic. Question? 5 minutes. Okay. We're almost done, actually. So we also have cotton, 100% organic. Cotton is great. You have cotton, hemp, and linen. Hemp is from the cannabis plant, and linen is from flaxseed. All of them, they don't need dyes. You don't need pesticides. They're completely natural. Now, hemp, and cotton is typically softer. Hemp and linen are a little rougher when you get them, but give them a couple washes. Don't give up on hemp and linen, because if you give them a couple washes, they soften right up. Great for anyone with allergies. Great for everyone, because they're clean. Oh, never get wrinkle-free sheets, ever, because the reason they're wrinkle-free is because they are soaked and laden with formaldehyde. Formaldehyde is what keeps them from wrinkling, and it never, ever washes out. So do not get that. You are literally wrapping yourself in formaldehyde by getting wrinkle-free sheets. Yes.
Same for the shirts?
Everything. Anything that is wrinkle-free has a chemical in it because it's not natural. Again, look at labels. You must look at labels. Okay?
Would that be on the label, though?
It should say that if it contains formaldehyde, it should say chemicals. Okay, so then what you have to do is you have to become your own investigator. Email us, contact the company, and get it in writing. Because let me tell you something, if they put it in writing, they know they have to put the, if you're emailing them and they're not getting back to you, then I'd be concerned.
Thank you. Quick question, the thread count, like say for cottons, you know, you can go anywhere from 200 thread count to,
I know. You know what? It really depends on the company. To this day, I mean, of course, when we do our custom high-end, like the thread counts is like 12 bazillion, you know? But I think a 500 and above is very nice. But sometimes, quite honestly, I've seen really inexpensive cotton sheets that have a lower thread count. It's more the quality, and they're very comfortable. You know, Target has great sheets.
Right.
You know, I love Target sheets, you know, for, you know, kids and things like that.
So they're not treated any differently with the lower thread count.
No, they're not treated any different. No, they're not. If they feel like cardboard, a lot of times it's because they're not treated a lot. So it's kind of a dance, and it's education. It's constant learning. And can I tell you something? I'm constantly learning. You know, what I love about our audience is they're intense. I mean, I'll get emails sometimes. They're like, "What the hell are you talking?" And I'm like, "Okay, tell me." You know, and I tell everyone, change it. So I'm always open to learning as well. You know, it's a rabbit hole of information, you know, of issues, and it's endless information. I'm almost done. We did sheets, right? Hang on, my time. Okay, and lastly is, I think, mattresses. Mattresses, stay away from wool and leather. You all know that. Wool, it's all crap, responsible wool. I mean, I think everyone here in the room knows that. I don't need to go into that. They have fabulous, fabulous mattresses now that you do not need any animal-derived products in them. If you're not sure, I don't want to sound like an infomercial, but go to vegandesign.org. We have a shop there on vegandesign.org. It'll just give you some direction on mattresses. It's toxic, it is. But you know, for me, Joey, I say the first layer is animals, right? It's hard, and this is what we're going to be seeing in the future, and I think in Anna's industry it's the same. You know, we're just starting, you know? So I say, I started this just for animals, because I love animals. And then I'm realizing, oh my God, it's not the animals also, it's the chemicals, it's the toxin, it's the workers. So you really have to become a detective. You know, because there's also percentages of things. You know, there's percentages of how much rayon and viscose. If you're going to have to get something rayon and viscose, you can't find anything. Well, what percentage of it? Well, then you have to contact the manufacturer. And they're going to be annoyed. But you have to do that. You know? So mattresses, okay. Also on Demare Design under cruelty-free cribs. We do a lot of bedrooms, and there's mattresses there. Again, I don't want to sound like an infomercial, but just to give you guys some direction, you know? And lastly, we're just going to talk about just the design. Okay, these are just all great bedrooms that we do. Okay, no clutter. When you design your bedroom, no matter how small or how big, keep it clean, please. We all know this already. Clutter clutters our brain. Disorganization disorganizes our brain. I mean, we've all heard it a million times over, and it's true. Also, we talked about this yesterday. I was talking about with some friends behind me. In the bedroom, if you face a door, that's psychologically speaking, that's the best place. It's the security, knowing what's in front of you, you know? Now, also, if you have a great view, you must wake up to that view. It's a shame if you put your bed to the back of that, okay? This is crisp white. I love crisp white sheets. White sheets, anyone, I do projects, there's one thread. I will, like, beg a client, I never want to do color on the sheets, only white. It's beautiful. It's sexy. You get into the bed, you feel like you're in a hotel. It's spa-like. It's a blank slate. It's wonderful. Face the view. If you don't have a good view, put a beautiful picture, something that makes you smile and say, God, thank God I'm alive. You know, when you start the day, whether it's puppies or your kids, or not your kids, that's bad for intimacy, flowers, stuff like that. It is. It's bad for that. And that's it. And lastly, so look, your home is your selfie. Okay, that was my last spiel I was going to give you. We don't have time for that. We don't have, which I knew we wouldn't, so. Your home is part of your selfie, right? You guys are awesome. Look at you, what you're doing, the change that you're making. Connect the dots in your space. Think about that the next time. You know, I always say, here we are talking, and these seats could be made with wool. You know, so just think about it. Any questions, email us. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much. Now we will begin our question and answer session. If you have questions, please make your way to the microphone over here.
Hi, guys. I have one question for each of you. For you, I'd like to know if you know anything about flame retardants. That was something that my cat got hyperthyroid, and doing some research, I was finding that hyperthyroidism in cats has skyrocketed since the 80s when they started requiring flame retardants to be in fabrics?
Not all fabrics.
Hello. Okay. Not all fabrics have to have flame retardancy in them. Commercial grade fabrics do, but not all typical fabrics do. So
is there something I can look for that?
Just look for organic. Organic should not have it.
Okay.
But again, there's, you know, companies, they're sly. They slip stuff in there. So look for organic fabrics, and then they should not have, a lot of the organic residential fabrics should not have flame retardants in them. Commercial fabrics, 100%, because it's code.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And then as for the fashion, I've had this discussion with other vegan friends of mine about faux and the potential, if you're wearing a faux, with the exception of there was a lovely coat that said vegan right across the back, with that exception, is it not a advertisement? Are you not perpetuating the fashion of fur, leather, et cetera? Like, I hesitated to even buy the belt from upstairs. It's like, oh, it's so much like leather.
Well, first of all, the technology is going above. It's actually better now than real fur. But so we can have this argument about everything, because this is just a substitution, and this is why the fur industry should just close their door, because now we have this product. But, you know, we can say it for about everything, for the leather, you know, that we use faux leather that looks exactly like the leather. In food also, for meat, for cheeses, so... We shouldn't think this way. We shouldn't think that it's going to promote real fur. We just need to stop buying real fur. And if you want that look, we have a great alternative. But no, I don't think there is like a promotion of the real fur. Obviously, you know, if you put a logo on it that tells exactly which company it is, you know, also what the company stands behind. So you're buying a product, but you're also buying what the company stands for. So
okay, thank you. Yeah, that's a great answer.
Of course.
I just have a quick question. What percentage of animal materials are waste from the meat industry versus their own, like, you know, are cows killed just for leather? Or do they come, or is it waste from the meat industry?
No, well, the fur industry uses everything. You know, they use cats, they use dogs, especially because, you know, 85% of the furs now comes from China. So we don't know exactly where these furs are coming from anything that has fur, really.
I can answer that. Regarding the question, it's a good question. There's two answers there. The skins and hides industry is an industry unto itself. So that's bullcrap, okay? It's its own industry, a billion animals, multi-billion dollar industry globally, just for the skins and hides. The meat industry, the skins are sold, but you have to understand, the meat industry says that leather is a byproduct of the meat industry. No. It's a co-product. The skins have more value than the meat. So in reality, meat is a byproduct of the leather industry, but we say it's a co-product because it holds value and much more value than the meat. So it's false. Like all industries, they're just giving you false information.
I have a question for each of you as well. This was an amazing presentation. Thank you. So Anna, as I look at where the money is going in the vegan world, it's going to food. And maybe that's because eating is so primal. Yeah. But kind of a dual question, where are people like you getting their funding? Where are they going to get their funding? How can they get it? And also, how do we interest women who can afford your highest end stuff in knowing that they need it?
Okay, so I don't know where you get the funding. That's what I'm trying to find. Does anybody know? Because so far the funding came from my husband. And, I'm trying to look for someone to take this to the next level. And what was the second question?
How do we interest women should be buying these coats?
I think you saw my coats.
Uh-huh. And gorgeous.
And when women see it, they're like candies. They can't resist. They're just so beautiful. Everyone is different. They feel, they look. When you put them on, they give you a beautiful sensation of coziness. So this is something also that I wanted to replicate, was to recreate a feeling that, real fur would give you. And it's something very tactile. Every fabric that is like silk and cashmere, like the softest fabric. So I wanted to reproduce that. And now we can. We can reproduce chinchilla, the softest fur in the world. But I think in my case, at least, it's about exposure. If this product is exposed to the consumer, I think they will it will take off. Of course it will take off. But this product, it's not on the market. It's not at this kind of level, not at this kind of luxury. And that's why, people still rather wear the real fur, because they don't know that what we can do. Mm-hmm. They have no idea. But I bet, if Jennifer Lopez sees this, she will love this.
Yeah. Well, so that's why I carry pictures of your coats with me.
It's really about exposure, getting out there.
Thank you. And on the interior side, when you talk about the non-toxic stuff, I presume you work with a lot of people who are interested in that, yeah, but who totally don't get the vegan aspect. How do we talk with people who are into organic, et cetera, but blind on vegan?
Quite honestly, it's really funny because so many of my projects still, the high-end stuff is referral, okay? And I think that they don't even look at my website. So I have designed spaces that are 100% vegan, and clients don't even know it. I show them fabrics. I'm not saying, you want leather? Oh, great, here's a leather. I didn't say it was faux. But then at the end of the project, which is literally like amazing, I tell the clients, hey, by the way, there's no blood or tragedy attached to any of your spaces. And they're like, huh? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if you're aware, but everything that we use in this space is going to keep you healthy, really durable, and no animals were used, so there's no blood or tragedy. And they're all blown away, everyone. So that's my approach. Because it's a dance. People that come to me specifically for health reasons or for ethical reasons, the other clients, I've had some clients, actually I just got a client in a very beautiful building in Miami. And she said, so Deborah, we took a look at your site. Your stuff's beautiful. But, you know, I see you don't use anything animal-based. I'm like, no, I don't. She goes, do you ever, if we want a leather couch? I said, well, you can go get a leather couch. You know, it's your money. You do what you want. I said, but I'm just curious. Why would you want a leather couch? You know, it's all about being kind and doing it gently. Oh, because we know it's durable, it's beautiful. And I'll say, well, you know what? I'll tell you what. How about I show you a couple samples of things that are not leather and that are just as expensive, because when you have those kind of clients, they don't want you to think you're doing right. It's a very similar thing. Just as expensive as a hide of cow. We're going to pour grape juice on it. I'm going to bring you both samples, the real and the faux. Bring you all the colors you want. You know, we can do couture leather colors when they're faux. So it's all about the delivery. And in the end, if they still don't want it, which has never happened, by the way, never once, because it outweighs the positive, outweighs the negative. Even if they don't care about animals, even if they're hunters, I'm saying, you know what I mean? So it's just about the delivery, and it's being, you know, gently. That's what I was saying I love about Ingrid, you know, from PETA. She's this lady, but you know what? Don't mess with Ingrid, right? You know, right? So I think it's that way. They know that that's my stance, and I really try to present it very positively. Change is scary for people. Change is scary. People like to be in their comfort zone. So any change, you know, when you move somewhere, when you know, it's people that know me well, friends, they say, they kid around. You know, I went to go buy a sweater the other day, and you know, now I couldn't buy mohair. I'm like, well, you could buy mohair. But, you know, it's up to you. Well, no, now I can't because you tell me. I'm like, good. You just saved, you know, 30 rabbits from being, you know, completely exploited. So change is scary. So you have to be kind to people. That's my approach in presenting it very gently and always having the facts. You have to be educated and have the facts. You just asked me about meat. If I didn't have the answers to that, I would have said, oh, yeah, I think it is a byproduct. Damn, I just, you know. You must be knowledgeable.
I have another question for you. I actually hadn't heard about the dog leather thing.
Yeah.
So does that mean, like, if you go out and buy a leather bag from Coach whoever, there's a potential that there's...
Oh, there's a very strong potential.
Oh, wowza.
That's your answer.
What about the factories that you produce your... furniture in, and are they in the United States?
Yeah, no, they're in the U.S. When we do custom, it's very specific, you know, because
right. Would your costs be much higher than somebody who is looking for something very high end, but they can get it in Asia?
No, not at all. No, I mean, our custom stuff is custom. It's not, you know, $100,000 for a sofa. It's the cost of going to a showroom, a good showroom, and buying one. No, it's more than cruelty-free cribs, where you can find great sofas and things online and, you know, very affordable. But no, it's not. It's really not.
A lot of people think because if it's produced in the U.S., it's much more expensive.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Clothing or whatever.
No, that's a good question. And no, it's not. Not at all. And we have complete control over it, too. So typically our lead time.
So you're transparent about who you.
Oh yeah, we're always transparent. I'm an open book. I say if there's a problem, if I'm hiding something, that's a problem. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are there other questions?
Are we out of time?
No, you can come up to the microphone.
I was just curious if your product, first of all, for, your name on the left. If all of your garments then have something that sort of says vegan on them somewhere, and this girl that left, I just thought, even if you're wearing those products.
Some of them don't, or they have the logo. Some of them don't have the logo. You can also get the logo and put it on.
Yeah.
I make things, I make one-of-a-kind pieces, so... Then you can always personalize it. So,
yeah, I think that's the piece, too, that I wanted to mention to the girl that left. But put your own little vegan thing on there. And then also a question just about bamboo. You mentioned that a little bit, but is the ethics of bamboo and environmental?
Great. it's a great, great product because
like all
it's
bamboo.
Bamboo. From what I know, it's all sustainable, and that's what's great. But don't get I keep saying don't get rayon on viscose because there's a lot that you can't get. But I'm trying to give you guys like one good take.
Yeah.
You know, I could give you a list yay long, but
yeah, great presentation.
Thank you. Hi, I was wondering what are the necessary steps you think we should take to take like the fur and the leather mainstream for celebrities to the Met Gala? Do you think us as consumers can do something, or as activists, what can we do?
Squeeze the corporations.
Yeah.
Stop buying.
Every
nickel you spend,
you're
changing the world.
Right.
You going this way or
exactly,
that way?
Exactly, just raising more demand. Yeah.
You just squeeze them.
Yeah.
You know, look, Bentley is, I think they're coming out with faux leather.
Right.
Bentley.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Why are they doing that?
Because
their clients in California said, screw this, we're not buying real leather anymore.
Right, exactly.
Bentley.
Yeah.
You know, Ferrari's coming out with faux leather.
Yeah. I just saw, like, J-Lo on her recent tour wearing a faux fur, you know, costume, and she's, you know, plant-based and all of that. So I just, right now, at least in my mind, I don't understand why this is still happening with all the information that we have.
You should put that on social media. Why is it still happening? I'm not understanding. You're plant-based, but you just
killed
60, 100 and something. How many chinchillas for one fur coat?
Could be under up to 150 if it's a lot.
Wow.
It's a lot.
That and every dollar you spend.
Yeah.
You know, as I say, you have to become an investigator. You know, you have to look at those labels, and if it doesn't say, wait, wrinkle-free, but I don't see formaldehyde.
Right.
Let me contact you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments? Wonderful. Let's thank Deborah and Anna again. That concludes our session.